Hello, and thank you for joining us in our 2021 MLS preview series. Today, we're talking about the 2021 Columbus Crew. You know what we're doing? We're bringing on podcasters and radio announcers from every Major League Soccer team. Joining us today, Robert and Ethan from Glory to Columbus Pod. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves and where we can find you?
So we're Robert and Ethan. We are from Columbus, Ohio. We had just started a brand new podcast about the Columbus Crew. Just started a couple months ago. We are on Spotify.
Basically every streaming platform.
Yeah.
You can also find us on Twitter or Columbus Podcast.
Yeah. All right. Good. We love to have a new fresh blood in the Major League Soccer game. So let's now talk about the team a little bit. I take ownership, stadium, culture, history, kind of lump it all together and throw it out there. Obviously, you guys had a good 2020. Talk a little bit about Columbus Crew.
Yeah. So anyone who's been following soccer, MLS, Columbus Crew specifically, has seen that we've had a pretty turbulent couple of years. We used to be owned by Anthony Precourt. And personally, I've always had a grudge against this guy because my godfather was actually the Columbus Crew coach. And when he bought the team, he sacked him immediately. Not because he was doing bad. He just wanted a completely new team to run, you know, the squad and everything. So, yeah, Anthony Precourt wasn't the best owner. He wanted a new stadium to be built for him. And he wanted Columbus to pay for a new stadium, but you know, they refused. Austin offered to pay for the stadium, so he wanted to move the Columbus Crew to Austin. Obviously our fans didn't take that lightly. If you watch the games, you know, the chants.
Yeah, we remember the whole save the crew movement. There's always great traveling fans in Columbus, and that's one of the things that I remember. Even at Red Bull Arena, every time 30-40 fans from Columbus are going to be there. Yeah. It's not the easiest trip to make, but they are there. Columbus was saved after all, and Precourt got his way because he's down in Austin with his brand new Major League Soccer franchise. Yeah. So talk just a little bit about the fans, the atmosphere at Mapfre Stadium being one of the first soccer-specific stadiums in Major League Soccer. I like to think in my head MLS Cup was won in the final game at Mapfre Stadium, but of course you are starting out next season there. New stadium, new crew stadium. Let's talk a little about where we're playing.
Yeah, I'll take this one. One thing I've always said about the crew and just our fans in general is, considering the size of our city, I feel like the amount of dedicated and loyal fans is actually pretty low in comparison to some other teams. But the amount of fans that, as you said, like, are super loyal and they'll travel across the country for the team, we have a pretty solid group there. And that's really who's been, those people are really what's been carrying us through all this tough times with the Anthony Precourt mess and think we were going to leave. They saved the crew. And now that we have our new stadium, have our new ownership that knows what they're doing, getting our new stadium downtown and actually having success on the field, I'm really excited to see where the team's going to end up. Because we don't know, but things are looking really up this offseason.
Absolutely. So let's talk about 2020, because you guys have a new star on your crest. You did win MLS Cup, the ultimate goal, the goal that every Major League Soccer team should have to finish the season. Alex, don't even start. Now, they went 12-6-5 in 2020, so they had a good record heading into the playoffs. They had the heaviest home spread splits in Major League Soccer. They were 9-1-0 at home. They were 0-5-5 away. This is a team that did not have an away win, but they didn't need it because they had home field advantage through the entirety of the playoffs. If you could sum up 2020 in just a couple words, what'd you say about the year?
A lot of things came together well. With our new ownership, we were really in this rebuilding phase. And really, that last season was the season where everything came together. The players, everything. The star players played well, and the squad overall played well. We really matured in our play style.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that I would add, and this is true for every sports, we talk a lot of NFL football here, getting hot at the right time. This team just got hot at the right time. I like what the roster build is. I think they have what it takes to be successful at the Major League Soccer level. Maybe even go on and push for a repeat. But the 0-5-5 away, that kind of says enough for me that this team wasn't there yet, but got hot at the right time, carried it through Major League Soccer playoffs, got the star. Ethan, do you have anything to add?
Well, just talking about the home-away splits, I've been thinking about this so much recently because like, it makes absolutely no sense because there was no fans for a majority of the season. So it makes no sense how this happened. That's why I'm really, really interested to see how they perform. Our first game is a week.
Maybe they just have really nice locker rooms.
That's probably what it is.
Like really comfortable chairs, a nice spread. Get some wings or some.
Yes, but like our first game is a week away from recording this is in Nicaragua. So like, if this is something that's going to continue, like that's much further away than we're used to playing. And if this continues, that's going to be really tough. So I'm really interested to see how that, if that continues and, or if it's just was completely fluke.
Who knows, but we will find out soon. Let's talk about the contributors. You had Jassy Zardes, 12 goals and 4 assists. Pedro Santos, 6 goals, 8 assists. Lucas Zelarayan, 6 goals, 4 assists. Yonis Mukhtar, 3 goals and an assist. Artur added 2 goals and 4 assists. So you guys got the star power. You definitely got a top striker. And let's look now at the depth chart because this is kind of what we're here for. When I pull this up now, I have no insider information. This is just using historical data, just kind of trying to make a prediction. You got Jassy Zardes up top, Bradley Wright Phillips behind him. That's a good tandem. How are you guys feeling at the striker position?
I mean, I don't think it's any debate that that's probably the best 1-2 in the MLS at the top. It's going to be dangerous with Zardes in the last season, really picking back up to his top form that he hasn't been seeing for a while. And then you're going to put that Bradley Wright Phillips, who also had a crazy bounce back year last year. I'm really excited to see what they do. And if Caleb Porter tries to throw in any formations where they can both play at the same time.
Absolutely. I think Philadelphia would like to talk to you about that 1-2 combination, but we'll let that go for now. Let's move a step back, talk about the wingers. Kevin Molino and Derek Etienne on the left. You got Pedro Santos and Diaz on the right. What do you think about the attacking options? Is that pecking order correct?
Yeah, I said it. Say it's correct. The wings really are about that. It's about rotation and surprising the defense. Outside defenders specifically. And I know that the depth there is very important because I know we have some injury prone players like Pedro Santos, but there's nothing I'm worrying about. It's mainly about the strikers with our formation and play style.
You guys are loaded. I mean, look at the your backups can start on most MLS teams. I mean, you're, with the squad rotation I've seen this year, I know with the congested games, midweek games, everything, Champions League, that what we're seeing on the screen right now, I predict a lot of rotation, but you guys aren't going to miss a beat. If Diaz starts and Santos sits down, or Kevin Molino, you saw what he did last year in the playoffs for Minnesota. I mean, you guys picking him up, another veteran, solid presence, and knows how to play MLS, knows how to show up for big playoff games. I think you guys are even better up front than you were this year than you are last year, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And if you look at the guys that they brought in, you got depth pieces. You got stuff all over the field. You got Kevin Molino from Minnesota, Marlon Hairston, Kitchen. You have Alexander Matan. You got stuff all over the field, and that's really going to be helpful. But let's talk about this midfield now because you got Lucas Zelarayan playing the number 10. Then you got Darlington Nagbe, someone we know and love. Artur, Kitchen. Is this the position how you see them? Obviously, Lucas Zelarayan, the more attacking option, and Nagbe just being all over the field. I think he was one of the keys to MLS Cup and the whole team during last season. So talk a little bit about the midfield and how these guys positionally you think are going to set up.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is how it's going to be set up. They all got themselves locked into their positions last year. If they're all fit, they're playing. They're playing every game that they're fit for in that way. Zelarayan, he had a weird season where it doesn't look great, but he had some injury problems, and then in the playoffs, exploded. He showed his full potential in that final game. He looked untouchable to one of the better teams in the MLS, which was incredible. Nagbe is a force in the MLS. He's won, I think it's 3 MLS Cups with 3 different teams. he has everything you want in a midfielder. And then Artur, he scored like one goal before the season, and he showed up with big goals and two big goals and big moments, and just played really physically in the middle. So we have a great midfield as well.
Also, to add depth chart, I'll make sure to add Aiden Morris. He is definitely a player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He really showed up in the final game. He was a massive presence. And at 19, you would never guess that he's 9 years old. He plays like a 27, 28-year-old player. So he's definitely a guy to watch in that role.
Yeah, he was impressive last year in the final. Very good.
Yes, he was.
Now, you guys gave up 21 goals against last season. You scored 36 goals on your own. So that's a very good ratio. And on the back of some good play by defense, you already talked about the fullbacks before. But let's pull this up and talk about the defense. You got Milton Valenzuela on the left, Harrison Offal and Hairston on the right. You got Vito Wormgoor and Jonathan Mensa. And behind them all, Eloy Room. This is a solid Major League Soccer defensive third. Might not be the sexiest group out there, but like I said, 21 goals against last season. Good stuff. Let's talk about this defense.
Yeah, well, I think you got to start with the fact that Wormgoor played, I think, about one full game of soccer last season.
Right, right.
And I don't think even Crew fans fully understand how dominant he can be in the style that most MLS teams play. He is just this humongous dude with a lot of intelligence, a lot of success in Europe. He's going to be pairing up with the runner up to Walker Zimmerman for MLS Defender of the Year and Jonathan Mensa. It's going to be very hard to score on this team. And then you pair that with Eloy Room, who, again, he's had his share of injury problems, but when he's healthy, I think he's easily top five keeper in the league. So very tough defense as well.
Absolutely. Jonathan Mensa, I would note, had 2,070 minutes. He led the team by about 250 minutes over the course of last season. If you compare that with Vito Wormgoor, who's going to play, hopefully, a majority of the games this season, they might even take the next step forward. So you got talent all over the roster here. Let's look at some stars to watch. Were there any guys that you guys see down, maybe a little further down the depth chart, that we have not talked about yet? Any up-and-comers that might take a step and be something during a very busy Major League Soccer season?
Well, I would start. I mean, we talked a little bit about Aiden Morris. Again, he was 19, so another whole year to develop, especially with the top team. He's only going to get better throughout this season. And then both of the backups on the wings in Etienne and Diaz, they both stepped up in big minutes. On our last season, Yunus Mokhtar was like he's fourth leading goal scorer, and they completely eliminated him from the roster. He was cut in the offseason because they just didn't have a spot for him.
A free transfer.
Yes, they lost money on him because they couldn't keep him on the roster anymore. That's how much those guys stepped up. And so I think I'm excited to see, those are both young guys, I'm excited to see what they can also add in this offseason.
You know, we've seen a lot of Derek Etienne, and you might have your hands full there. You take the good, you take the bad, and
One guy I saw YouTube highlights of, it was the new signing, the Romanian kid, Matan. What can you tell us about him? He looks like he's dynamic also. What do you know about him? What can you tell us about him?
That has been its own whole thing, really, because we don't know that much about him, because the signing has been so weird, because he looked set to NYCFC. All of a sudden, reports come out, he's going to the Crew. Like 2 weeks later, it's official, and the Crew aren't. I've only seen one highlight video of his. I can't find really anything other than what the Crew put out when they signed him. I really can't find anything else other in the highlights.
You don't watch the Romanian league every weekend like everyone else in Major League Soccer?
I try my hardest.
Okay, I'll add this. I'm very excited about Matan because if anyone has watched these Eastern European leagues, closer to the Balkans, they are insanely aggressive and rough. So if a winger like him can hold his own and perform, he can perform anywhere.
Listed as a Romanian 5'5".
Yeah.
Maybe the only one in Romania who's 5'5", but we'll definitely see what he has to bring. I believe he's going to be 20 years old this season, and it looks like he's been playing pro soccer since he was 15. So he definitely has
I've
some room to move forward here.
I spoke with some people that dude that live in like they follow Romanian soccer very well, and they say that he is probably one of the top prospects in Romania, and he gets a lot of minutes with their U21 national team. So I'm hoping to see good things out of him.
All right, so let's finish up, Alex.
We didn't talk much about your coach, Caleb Porter. To me, last year, it looked like he coached with a chip on his shoulder, like he had something to prove. I think he's grossly underrated, especially as an American coach. What do you guys love about Caleb Porter and your fans? Tell us a little about him.
Caleb Porter, what I love about Caleb Porter is just the environment and the culture he builds wherever he goes. And you can see it still is a big, the culture he built is still in place in Portland. You can see it coming and developing in Columbus. His tactics are not, I love him so much. His tactics are pretty basic. It's a pretty basic formation, pretty easy to understand, but it's the culture and the just get in your face kind of way that his teams always play that make them always a threat. And so, yeah, he's a great coach, very underrated. He's
not to mention just surrounding himself with good players and players that he knows very well. We talked a little bit about Darlington Nagby and his, it seems like he's played for Caleb Porter at every step of the way throughout his career. And, you know, being the guy to be brought in, I said, when Darlington Nagby was signed, I said, hey, this is the guy. There's a reason why he's following the coach around everywhere. And we saw it finally during last season where Darlington Nagby at points looked like one of the best players on the field, just going after balls, being aggressive, spreading the ball out when he gets it. Just absolutely great. Something I love to see there.
Oh, I got one last question for you guys. We had the guys from Cincinnati on, and we talked about your biggest rivalry. Tell us why you guys hate Cincinnati so much, and tell the audience why the heated rivalry. Why do you guys hate each other so much since they only been in the league for the last few years?
Cincinnati, go.
They think they own Ohio. That's the thing, because they have, before they joined the MLS, when they played in the minor leagues, they had a very, very big following and a very loyal following. So they think that their fan base is one of the best in Ohio, if not the United States. And that kind of gave them this sort of overconfidence. And I don't want to offend anyone, but their fan base is a little bit toxic. So that's why we hate them, but we do respect them.
Yeah. I think you had as many wins as they had goals last season. So we're not going to worry about that too much with the shots being fired here.
Yeah. They bring it on themselves, really. I really didn't hate them until I see just everyone on the internet talking about how much better FC Cincinnati fans talking about how much better they are in the crew all the time. And it doesn't make any sense. They bring it on themselves. If they were just be a little quieter, I feel like we could have some mutual respect there, but that's how
All you gotta do is point to the stars above your, left shoulder, right above the crest. And I don't think there's any comeback, to be honest with you.
There is not.
We'll have to get to Cincy Soccer Talk. Maybe we'll bring them on some next time with us. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here today. Robert and Ethan, again, please remind us where we can find you.
Yes, find us on Spotify. That's our main one, but you can also find us on pretty much any streaming platform.
Absolutely. And at home, make sure you subscribe to i80 Sports. You can find us youtube.com/i80sports or at i80sports.com. This month, we are talking to podcasters and radio hosts from all over Major League Soccer to bring you previews. Thank you for joining us here today at i80 Sports.